who are the guides, the stars of guidance, the propagators of the noble Quran, and also for those believers who are the followers of faith. Discussing what Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala said, Sahaba Ikram, all are jannatis. Allah Rabbul Izzat is pleased with Sahaba. Sahaba are pleased with Allah. Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is their tutor, their teacher, spiritual guide. And by looking at Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam staying in his company, they reach those stages, those spiritual stages, which followers, other followers of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam cannot reach. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam personally saw to them, supervised their spiritual upliftment. One condition or one question comes that there were Sahaba who were very small. For example, Hazrat Hassan, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar, Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas, Hazrat Zubair, they were very small. And to the Quranic ayat, the hadith referred to them as well. So this is unanimous deception of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah. The Quranic ayat which is referred to the mature Sahabas also referred to those Sahabas which are not Baligh. Meaning that if a Muslim, not Muslim, not Baligh Muslim, saw Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the era of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the halat of Iman, then he is classified Sahaba. Maturity is not a condition for a Sahabi to become a Sahabi. Here you must remember one point, the definition of Sahabi, you must say that in the era of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because these days, alhamdulillah, pious people dream of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And to dream of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is truth. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam stated, Man ra'adi faqad ra'adi hukama qala alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whosoever sees me has verily seen me. And shaitan cannot take the shape of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Shaitan cannot take the shape of Ambiya alayhi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And by experience, it has been shown and proven that shaitan also cannot take the shape of pious predecessors or the shape of awliya ikram. The commentator of the Quran Kareem, Ibn Kathir, it is stated that no one can supersede the status of the Sahaba. And few reasons have been given that they were first to accept Islam. Also, their iman was perfect. And Allah is pleased with all of them. These are very interesting and good conditions and good reasons presented. When Islam was on the rise, Islam was experiencing all attacks from all fronts. Sahaba Ikram were those who accepted Islam. And as it is said, that the garden of Islam, the rose garden of Islam, has been watered by the blood of the Sahaba, and showed to them how to do it by the way of Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, because he also gave his blood in the fast. All of us know the story of life. All of us know how Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam was shaheed in Uhud. And remember, all Sahabas Allah Rabbul Izzat is pleased with. No one Sahabi we should look or try to criticize. Hazrat Zayd bin Ali, Zayd al-Abidi, he has stated that no one should criticize or vilify or speak ill of the Sahaba, and we cannot become equal in stages of the Sahaba. Hazrat Sayyid ibn Junayr radiallahu ta'ala anhu is one of the Ashra Abu Bakr, one of the blessed ten. He states that do not criticize Sahaba, do not speak ill of Sahaba, therefore you cannot reach the stages of Sahaba. And he gives some interesting reasons. He says that Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala were those who were fortunate and had the pleasure of going out in battle with, side by side with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And can you imagine that the dust that reached their nostrils and the dust that touched them, and this is clear that when you go out to the path of Allah, the dust that touches you, this the fire of hell, let alone the fire of hell, the smoke of hell will touch you, smoke of Jahannam will touch you. And Hazrat Sayyid ibn Zubair radiallahu ta'ala who says that if you put your good deeds on one side and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you life which is equivalent to the life of Hazrat Nuh alayhi salam, meaning plus 1,000 years, then also you cannot match the good deeds of Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala. Sahaba ikram, their good deeds, one of their good deeds, or a moment of their good deeds, or a few hours of their good deeds, if you have been given the life of Nuh alayhi salam, you cannot match. This is the Sharafi Akbar, all this which I say you concerning the stages of Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala says, do not speak ill of Sahaba. He gives a reason. For one moment with the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is better than your whole life of good actions. In one moment of Sahaba ikram is better than your whole life of good actions. Hazrat Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala says that do not speak ill of Sahaba. And he says that 40 years of your good actions is equivalent to one moment of good actions of Sahaba ikram radiallahu ta'ala. Alhamdulillah, that imagine if you and I have to start loving Sahaba, we will get sawab. If we honor Sahaba, we will get sawab. If we respect Sahaba, we will get sawab. And can you imagine this if we follow Sahaba and sawab? And Sahaba's pattern was that you strive in the path of Allah, to go out in the path of Allah, and to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to conform to Sharia of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to adhere to what Allah and Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants us to do. Now, all these statements have been quoted, that how valuable is the moment of Sahaba's good action. What's the logic behind it? Why is there so much stress that we cannot match the Sahaba, we cannot equal the Sahaba, we cannot be superior to Sahaba? So the logic behind it is very simple. That what person has put it nicely, that where are those ears that will listen to the words recited by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? You and I, we listen to our imams, we listen to our alims, or we listen maximum to the haram imam, etc. But will we ever have the chance of, while we are alive, to listen to Rasulullah? But Sahaba had those ears which were listening to the voice of Rasulullah. Where are those eyes that will see the Rasulullah? Alhamdulillah, Sahaba were those who saw Rasulullah. And where are those hearts that will understand Rasulullah directly? Today we have been given explanations, we have been given elucidations by others. But Sahaba were those hearts who were sitting near Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explaining to them about Deen, about Allah, about Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about Akhirah, about Jannah, about Jahannam, about Miraj. Where are those minds that will sit with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and make mashura with Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Quran Taribai, Mashawiru Filam, that make mutual consultation with them in the matters. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam should make mashura with who? None other than the Sahaba who are present there. Can you imagine how fortunate are they that they got the best of creation amongst them, that the best Nabi with them, that the last Nabi with them, that the best book is Kitab is coming on you. Jibreel alayhi salam is coming to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is making mashura with Sahaba. Can you imagine how fortunate they are? That for example, you and I, if we have a good fortune of sitting with some pious or righteous person, or we go sit with some buzuru or some nice man, and you feel happy about it, you say, I went there, I sat with him, I spoke with him. Can well, Sahaba, in the city with the best of creation, in the city with the beloved of Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala from Al-Bain, the great farewell Hajj, the first Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Remember, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, generally you get the farewell Hajj of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sabada. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made one Hajj, the first Hajj, and then the last Hajj. There was no other Hajj. So can you imagine Sahaba Ikram, how fortunate they are? That they gave for Hajj after the Amirship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Making Hajj under his supervision. Can you imagine how he is now fortunate? You and I, alhamdulillah, give out zakat. But you can imagine Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala they're giving their zakat to the Baitul Mal, established by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is supervising their zakat is great. Can you imagine how correctly it was made? And how hellish it was made? And sanctioned by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is peace. Can you imagine that sometimes when some pious state comes, you feel that you have to stand behind him in salat? And you feel that if I stand behind him in salat, or if he's going to make dua, then we will go and sit and he will make dua, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this man is pious, Allah will accept his dua. Can you imagine Sahaba, they following Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in salat? It was Jid and Abu, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam lifted hands to make dua, the best of creation. So can you imagine all these pillars of Islam, they have been executed under the supervision of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Then why not the status of Sahaba Ikram would be high? Then why not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would be pleased with them? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, alhamdulillah, is pleased with the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala. And that is why it's our incumbent duty that we honor, love, respect, and we teach our children, teach ourselves and our families that they should conform to the way of Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has sanctioned this in many ahadith stating that the Sahaba, they are the criterion for us from right, falsehood, good and bad, the criterion each other. What Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala has done for us, the Sharia, it becomes necessary for us to adhere to it and practice it. نحمد ونصلي على رسول الكريم. Read is our sixth lesson on الحمد لله رب العالمين. As explaining to you, the word Rabb has got many connotations, meanings, and implications. Tonight I want to discuss, if I can complete, some of them, that basically mankind is misled, and there are five causes of this. Any person, if he is misled, there are five causes. If he is misled to the extent that he is destined or is making himself go into hell, one of these five causes are going to be applicable. And if he is a person who is good, a Muslim, and if he is misled, what is called Gubra, then also one of these five causes is linked to it. We'll mention these five causes, we'll try to explain these five causes, and how Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen is linked to these five causes. And if we know these five causes, then inshallah we'll be able to stay away from those things that mislead them. Remember, the purpose of tafsir lessons and explanation is that we come to know the purpose of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what He wants from us. Not that we come to hear some new incident or a story or some fanciful explanation. First of all, one of those causes that misleads man is what comes under the section of atheist. Atheist, the person who denies the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we generally call that person a kafir. And in Urdu, Dehriya. And this person denies the very existence of a supreme being, a supervisor, a controller. He feels that there is no Rabb. He feels there is no sustainer, there is no provider. He feels that there is no one controlling this universe. And our belief, alhamdulillah, in the first ayat Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, that Allah is our Rabb, Allah is our sustainer, provider, everything. And the atheist feels no, that what I am doing is because of my own effort, wholly, solely of my own effort. And there is no other exterior forces attached to it. The power that I got is because of my own effort. And the humiliation the person is getting is because of his own reach. And the dignity he is getting because of his own. The word in Arabic, kafir, comes about why? A person who is a farmer or an agriculturist, in Arabic you call him kafir. A farmer in Arabic you call him kafir. The reason is very simple. This word, according to dictionary, means that if you take a seed, a farmer is called a kafir in Arabic because he takes the seed and he hides it in the ground. He denies the existence of the seed. He hides it. And the kafir, he hides the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala exists. He hides the fact that there is a supreme healer above him. And the atheist is that person who feels and he believes in the concept. The concept is very simple to understand. He believes in molecular movement. He believes that molecule moves to molecule and these molecules join or they separate or they add, and by movement things come into existence. So they believe that the earth came into existence like that also. Molecule movement to molecule, and molecule when it moves, it gives off energy, and energy plus energy gives you matter. Alhamdulillah, our belief is very simple. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is our Khaliq. And for Khaliq, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he does not require matter. You see, there is a difference between Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as the creator and man as the one who brings something into existence. Man, when he does something, he invents, he does not create. That we must know. For example, you get a motor car. Man invented it, man never created it. Why we say this? Because man put various compounds together and then the car came into existence. Those compounds, that matter was present, and he just joined them up in a systematical way and he brought the car into existence. Allah Rabbul Izzat, his method of creation, he does not require matter. He does not require matter to bring matter into existence. Understand these things are very simple, and I'm trying to make it very simple. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he gave wujud to Hazrat, he gave existence to Hazrat Isa alayhi salatu wa salam without a father. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates without the need of matter. When there is no matter, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, kun fayakun, be as it is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not require matter, that he take the matter and start making matter plus matter and give you the third matter. That is invention. Man invents, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala creates. Understand? Now the scientist, or the scientist who is an atheist, believes no. Everything that you see on earth is due to molecule plus molecule give you another molecule, or matter plus matter gives you another matter, and everything around us, it will go on and it will go on and on and on and no end to it. As long as there is matter, as long as there is molecules, then the earth will go on and on and on until eternity. There is no such thing that it will go into annihilation or it will one day break up. And we believe that we have come from non-existence to existence, and we are going to go at one stage to non-existence, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us again He'll bring us up again for the day of repeating resurrection. So a general cause will, a misguiding thing will be that a person feels, for example, he, and unfortunately what he does these days, that he builds one very big mansion, and outside the mansion is right, Haza bin Fazli Rabbi, that this is due to the blessing or the bounty of my Rabb, and he used interest money to build this whole house. Unfortunately he does this. Or he will build the house, or he will hold a very big car, and he says, this came from my own effort. No one helped me. And that is why if you have to go telling him to go out in the path of Allah, or if you have to tell him to go out, give your wealth in the path of Allah, or if you tell him that a person who is destitute and poor requires your wealth, they say, you know what? I sweated for my money, I worked hard for my money, and you know my bank balance which is fat there at the moment is because of my own duty. This person actually is denying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he feels that I did everything. He feels egoistic about it, that it is he who has done it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, no, he is the Rabb, he is the provider, he is the sustainer, he is the creator, he does. The wealth he has given you the wealth. The kingdom, he has given me the kingdom. And the poverty that is there too, he has given you for a specific reason. Maybe to try you, to test you, to see your patience, etc. And your perseverance. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, after every difficulty, brings on ease. So the first thing that misleads a person is the idea that he is here to stay. The atheist feels that way too. I am here to stay. As you look at the Ambiya alayhi salatu wasalam who went to various nations, they also were faced to those people who felt they built mansions, they built in the mountains. They built houses underground. And they built in the cliffs, etc., buildings and mansions. And they were big in sizes. And Ambiya alayhi salatu wasalam warned them that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will catch hold. He said, no, we are here to stay. And bad also, he behaves like that sometimes. He feels that his shop, his factory, his business, his life, and his money, his property, his wealth, all are here to stay. And then when death catches hold of his dear relative, of his uncle and his brother, then he gets vibrated and says, oh, I'm here. Today I'll be gone, tomorrow I'll be gone, and today my brother is gone. Then he realizes, no, these things are all fleeting and all these things are temporary. So sometimes what happens, man, a Muslim, he gets under this influence that he feels that I did everything, I'm here to stay, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is resting, I have been everything, and all those things I have got around me, I have done. So we must know this cause and keep far from this cause. The second thing that misleads a person is, there is a concept and many ideologies preach it and they believe it. They say that there was a creator, there is a creator. What happened? He created. He created the earth, he created the skies, he created the sun, he created the moon, he created water, he did everything. But thereafter, after creating all this, subsequently he is resting. He is resting. It is the theory, for example, of a carpenter. The carpenter made the chair, and I am sitting on the chair resting. This, certain Christians believe in this. They say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he created the sky and the earth in 6 days, and on the seventh day he rested. So that is why they have their festival day, or their so-called holiday, on the seventh day. Because they say that if God is resting on the seventh day, so we also must rest on the seventh day. Now, there is a group of Hindus also, according to one narration, the Arya Samaj, they also believe in this concept. That they say, no, that God created everything. Yes, we believe in it. But after that, he rested. How is that? That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he created and he is in full control of what is happening. He created and he is supervising. He created and he is nourishing. He created and he is providing. He is created and he knows what is happening. He created, he knew what is happening. He knows what is happening. He knows what is going to happen. He created and he is fully aware that the fish in the ocean requires food, and the bird flying in the earth, on the sky requires food, and the head down there also in the hole requires food. And man who is trading on earth, he also requires food, and he requires all these things. And he is providing the means and the opportunities, and is providing directly, indirectly, for man to survive. Let alone man, he is providing for everybody means and provisions for survival. So when a person feels this, that no, that Allah is resting, I must do my own thing, then he closes his door. That is why you see when a person, you go to him and tell him, go out in the path of Allah, or do some good work, or help a destitute, or go do some welfare work, or go help a person, he say, I got no time. And behind him he's got one thing, that I must do my work, and if I don't do my work, then my provision will close. And behind him he's got something, then listen, my door of my shop has to remain open. Because he's got it fully in his mind that the door has to be opened for my money to come. He's got fully in his mind that my surgery door has to be opened for patients to come. He's got fully in his mind that my factory has to be opened in order for my money to come. He's got fully in his mind that I must work so that my money will come. Whereas this is the pattern that is followed, but it is not necessarily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do otherwise. That your door is closed, he can provide for you. That your factory is closed, he still provides for you. And you can be unemployed, Allah provides for you. All these things Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do and he is doing. The third thing that leads a person towards hell is due to worldly achievement. The person feels that there is no need for Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, and especially the Jews. That is why it comes time and time again in the Quran Kareem that they should kill the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. It is reported that of the Bani Israel, 70,000 Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam were killed. And for this reason, that the Bani Israel nation, the Jewish nation, felt that there is no need for the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, because we have come here, and we have come here for monetary gain, for financial power, to rule the world, for glory and for pomp. We don't require this person who is talking about the Akhirat. We don't require this person who is talking about revelation. We don't require this person who is talking about righteous things and good deeds. We don't require this person who is reminding us that there is a supreme being existing. We do not require this person who is telling us about what is happening in the grave. We do not require this person who is reminding us that we should be polite and we should be good and we should be helping our neighbor. We do not require this person who is preaching to us and propagating to us. We do not require this person who is reminding us of pleasing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not require this person who is saying us that if you do this action then you will displease Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We do not require this person to come and tell us to leave our financial resources. We do not require this person to tell us to leave our monetary gains. We are here and we want monetary gains, and our purpose of life is to become rich, wealthy, powerful and mighty. And as a result, when a person becomes mad with power, financial power, and the person becomes drunk for monetary gain, then the Anbiya which is present in that era, he wants to rid of him. And that is why they should kill the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. They felt that they don't require the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam to guide them. And up to date, that quality is present in the Jews. That they want financial power, they want financial gain, they want voluntary superness, and they want to supersede everyone in the financial. And that is why they have this concept in mind, that as long as we can control the finance of the world, we can control the world. And that is why if you look at the countries present in the whole world, that so many countries, and maybe our own country too, if you look far back and deep down, and if you look carefully, then there is some Jewish financial hand trying to squeeze our country or trying to squeeze some other country. If you look at the big countries too, then if you look at the policy makers, you may feel externally so and so and so and so who's fighting the election. But if you look behind the scene, and if you look at the inner circle and the caucuses, and if you look behind the curtain, you see that these concepts that the Jewish must rule the world is still with them. But because their concept is coming from those days, and they should kill the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam. Because the Anbiya alayhi salatu wa salam, they should say that, look at Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why that the person who preaches Islam, propagates Islam, and is practical on Islam, his enemies will come from those people. Those people who have got voluntary guilt in their heart, and those people who are drunk financially, and those people who are intoxicated towards the world, and those people who want to rule the world by financial means, and especially the Jewish people. And that is why now if you look at the world movement, then these people fear Islam. And the main reason why they fear Islam, because we are saying nicely and we are saying clearly that by voluntary gain, financial power is not the end of life and not what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us for. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created us for some other things, and Allah Rabbul Izzat wants us to make his ibadah, call towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, invite towards good and forbid what is evil. The fourth thing which misleads a person, there is a cause to misleading people, is a person believes in Allah, he believes even in Rasul, but he believes that there is no such thing as Qiyamah. He believes there is no such thing as Qiyamah. A person believes, he believes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there, supreme being is there, and there is a Rasul. He may believe in a specific Rasul,